couple people here that we don't need any introduction, really, but I thought I would do it anyway. John and Barbara Marker are here, and they're bound and determined to help the people of Appalachia and to get us involved down there. And John is the one, and Barbara, who takes the trucks and drives them back and forth. And so here they are right down here, but I think you all know them. They're getting kind of regulars with us, but we really appreciate the work they're doing with us today. I feel like Bob Cratchit, when he went back at the end of that story, and Scrooge was pretending he was upset with him, and Bob Cratchit was excusing himself, saying, I made rather merry yesterday, sir. That's the way I feel today. I usually ask you whether you want the long version or the short version. I think today I'm going to give you the short version, and we get on our way. Let's turn to the book of Judges. It's in the Old Testament, and kind of at the beginning. You have Joshua, which is the story of the children of Israel going into the promised land and being led by Joshua. And Judges is a series of people who are called judges. They basically are people that God calls upon during times of emergency, and this is before you have all the kings. And one of the great judges in the Old Testament is Gideon. And I'd like to read a portion of his story, his calling, really. It appears in chapter 6, Judges chapter 6. And we'll start with verse 11. And we'll read just a portion of his calling there. So Judges chapter 6, verse 11. And the angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak at Ophrah, and belonged to Joash, the Abizrite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in the winepress to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." "But sir," Gideon replied, "if the Lord is with us, why are all these things happening to us?" This is a question that I think many people over the years and centuries have asked of God during difficult times. "Where are all the wonders that our fathers told us about when they said, 'Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and put us in the hand of Midian." The Lord turned to him and said, "Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of the Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?" "But Lord," Gideon asked, "how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family." I suppose they're correct when they tell us that the saddest words in life are, "It might have been." The saddest words in life are, "It might have been." And when you look back in the Bible, especially in the Old Testament, to some degree in the New Testament, you'll find a lot of potential "it might have been" people. You can start off really with Moses, and when you usually think of Moses, you think of him as a real strong, capable person. But when you go back to that interchange between God and Moses, when God was calling Moses to lead his people out of the wilderness, he is a pretty pathetic person. And everything God says for him to do, he comes back and says, "Well, I don't know that I am up to that. I don't know that I can speak for you. They won't listen to me. I don't even know your name. And how will they know your name?" And on it goes. And now when you come to Gideon, and God comes to Gideon and he says to him, "I want you to do this wonderful thing. Am I not God?" he says. "Do I not have all the power? And if you go in my power, what person can stand up to you?" On and on, reading between the lines. What does Gideon say? "I'm the least. I'm the weakest." And so here you have a potential for another "it might have been" scenario here. And when you look back in the Bible, maybe the Bible, instead of being this thick — my Bible's about this thick — maybe it should be that thick, but there were a lot of stories that never made the press. There were a lot of people that said to the Lord, "Well, I don't think I'm kind of up to that," and kind of walk away, and it's a might have been story. Now, this time at Christmas time, one of the shows we see on television all the time is A Wonderful Life. And everybody here, I'm sure, knows that story. And in the end, the character in the story says, you know, it might have been better for everybody if I not had been born. And what happens? He is granted that wish. He goes back in town and he sees all of the things that didn't happen because he wasn't there. And if you ever really get down on yourself, does anybody ever get down on themselves in here? If you ever get down on yourselves, you feel your life isn't much use, then you really need to see that story. They had on one of the programs or one of the networks, the Christmas story. You know the story, a little boy wanted the BB gun? They had that for 24 hours. They just keep showing that thing for 24 hours. We saw one part of it. We didn't see the whole 24 hours. But really, in your mind's eye, when you ever really get down on yourself, you should really have a 24-hour marathon of It's a Wonderful Life and kind of know that if you weren't here, you really did accomplish some things in life. But there's still that nagging thing in our life is it might have been. It might have been. There's something maybe that God is asking you to do. There's maybe something in your life that God is calling you to do. Maybe it's been for a long time. Maybe it's just been for a short time. But you kind of come across like Gideon and you kind of say, who, me? I'm the weakest, I'm the smallest, and you're coming to me. And the potential there is it might have been. And it will never be it might have been story unless it comes to the end of our story, you see. So you still got time, you know, you still can get in there, and you still can turn that it might have been to this is what it became. Does anybody have it in your life? Anybody out there kind of struggling and you got some things that maybe you've been putting off and you think, well, I can't do that. I'll never be able to accomplish that. I'm the least. I'm the weakest. Anybody out there? Am I all by myself today? I was out there listening to you sing when I came in here and I thought, oh boy, we're going to liven this group up this morning. It's kind of hard to sing at 9:30 in the morning. I realize that. But it might have been. Any potentials out there? It might have been. Things that you've been putting off? I remember this story that really happened. And I was driving in my car, and I listened to the radio a lot in there. It caught up on all the things that are going on. And this particular radio station was having a contest. And the contest was that you send in your name, and they would pull out names, and they pulled out about 10 of them. And the first caller, then, they would have door number 1, door number 2, and door number 3. Now, they weren't really doors, but because it's radio, but, you know, they said door number 1, door number 2, and door number 3. And the prizes, the way it works is that the first person that would call in, the name was pulled, this person would have the opportunity to guess first. And they could pick door number 1, door number 2, and door number 3. And so the person said, okay, she said, I'll pick door number 1. Door number 1 was a $100 gift certificate. Okay, if you answer this question carefully, you'll get the gift certificate. And they had announced that behind one of these doors was a brand new car. And so the person missed the question, and so they went to person number 2, and person number 2 now knew what? That there was a gift certificate behind door number 1. So they were going for door number 2 and door number 3, knowing that one of them was going to be the car, okay? So the person, they asked the question, picked door number 2. No, door number 3. Door number 2. I forget. Door number 2. I want to get this right. Door number 2. And it was a riding lawnmower. And this person missed the question. So now the third person comes on. Right away, she's all happy. Oh, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. He said to her, he said, ma'am, he said, you've been listening off radio. Yes, 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 I've been listening off radio, on the radio. And I know that behind door number 1 is a gift certificate. Behind door number 2 is this riding lawnmower. And the announcer said, and behind door number 3, you can imagine, because we're giving away a car. I can't really tell you what's behind door number 3, but we are giving away a car here. Door number 1 is that. Door number 2 is that. Door number 3 is, I can't tell you, but we are giving a car away. Oh, yes, 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 yes. What do you want? She said, door number 2. He said, door number 2, that's the riding lawnmower. Yes, 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 we want a riding lawnmower. Woo, we want that riding lawnmower. We are giving a car away here. Door number 1 is certificate. Door number 2 is the riding lawnmower. Door number, well, I can't tell you, but there's a car going to be getting. Yes, yes, I know, like that. You know, I want door number 2. We want a riding lawnmower. We've always been dreaming about riding a lawnmower. You could win a car. And she said to herself, well, we've already bought a car. We just brought a new car. So I want that riding lawnmower. I want that riding lawnmower. He says, you understand that the question is the same for all three doors. All three doors. Yes, yes, yes. Oh, I can't believe to get that. Oh, I want that riding lawnmower. It's a John Deere, I think it was. Oh, I can't believe. We want that riding lawnmower. He says, all right, lady, that's what you want. Door number 2. Ask the question. And I forget the question, but the answer was Julia Childs. And she says, oh, I know this, I know this. It's Julia Childs, it's Julia Childs. We win a riding lawnmower. We really, goes on and on like that. He says, lady, I still don't quite understand this. I don't understand this. You could have won a brand new car. And there's quiet on the other end, and she says, oh, my husband is going to kill me. She could have sold that car and bought a whole fleet of John Deere tractors, and she didn't go for door number three. And I'm thinking to myself as I'm driving along, I'm thinking, what possessed her? What was in her mind that she came, that she could go for door number two and not door number three? Why in the world would she turn out a brand new car and go for door number two, go for a riding lawnmower? And I thought that there was something going on in her mind that kind of said to her that she was not a door number three person. That no matter how great it was, that was really not her door. That really in life, sometimes we get the impression that we are kind of door number one or door number two people, and we don't really see that we really can be a door number three person. Now, somewhere in our life, we have been told, or it's been said to us, or we bought into the fact that we are a gift certificate or a riding lawnmower, we're never going to be a car. And then when it comes to our choices in life, we're going to choose door number one, door number two, and we are never going to choose door number three because we just don't think that we're in that kind of league. And I thought as I was driving away that what God is kind of saying to us is you could be any door you want to be if that's the door I want you to be. You know, that's important. If that's the door I want you to be, and by everything you do in life, make sure you go for the car. Make sure you go for the car. I mean, right now you're probably sitting here and maybe you're not even thinking about what I'm talking about, or your mind's going a different direction, or you're looking at me, and there's something in your life that you probably really want to do and wanted to do, and hopefully it's something that God wants you to do, but you're sitting there thinking, I can't do that. I don't have the skills. I don't have the courage. I don't have the strength. My gracious, what if I fail? What if I succeed? You know, a lot of problems come with success also. You know, what if I become an embarrassment? What if all of these what ifs? And you sit back and life is saying, which door are you going to choose? And you think, well, the big salami is behind door number three, but I don't know that I'm to do that. I'm kind of a door number one, door number two person. And God is coming to you and saying, no, you're not. Any door that I say we can go through, we can go through. And Gideon says, you know, I am not a door number three person. I have never gone for the car in my life. I've always gone for door number one, door number two. And God is saying, now I'm calling you to go for door number three. I'm telling you in life, go for the car. Now in our lives, it's not going to be as big and glamorous as in Gideon's life. I mean, who can compare to Moses? Who can compare to the apostles, you know? Who can compare to any of these celebrities that you hear in the papers all the time? And that's not who we are. We're just kind of ordinary people. Well, I'll speak for myself. Just kind of an ordinary person going through life, trying to do the best you can with what God has given you to do. And there's something in your life that God is calling you to do. And he is saying to you, whatever you do in life, go for the car. Go for the car, you see. Don't live a life that it might have been. It is better to go out and to fail miserably and try than to sit back and worry about not succeeding or failing or whatever it is, the reason why you're choosing door number one and not going after door number three. I will preface it too. I mean, it's because you want to go through door number three, and if God is not with you going through door number three, well, you're going to mess everything up. What I'm talking about in life is that when God really comes to you and asks you to do something, it may be in your mind the biggest thing in the world, other people's mind very small. But whatever you do, don't ever buy in to what the world tells you. Let God tell you who you are. And if he says you're a door number three person and go for it, then by golly, go for it. Door number three. So why is it might have been is because somewhere along the line, we don't ever see ourselves doing this. We don't ever see ourselves doing this. We kind of get in our comfort zone. And we go through life and we don't venture kind of out of them, you know. Sometimes things happen in life, and we are forced to go out there. And what do? We discover that really we can go for door number three, that we really can go for the car, as God is with us. The second thing I think prevents us from going to door number three is not only feelings of inadequacy we have, but also that we do not have the resources, that we don't have the resources. I think probably the thing that I hear more than anything else from Americans and American Christians is, oh, I can't do that, Pastor. I've already got too much on my plate. You ever heard that? You ever said that? I've got too much on my plate. I'm doing too many things. I've got too much on my plate. I can't do one more thing. I'm so stressed out. I'm so overwhelmed. I don't know how I'm going to get it through the day. On and on and on. A long, long time ago. It's getting longer, longer time ago. I was a young pastor, and I was feeling one day real stressed out. You know, I guess you feel stressed out at 20. I guess you feel stressed out at 80, you know. And I was just telling this older pastor, I just had too much on my plate. Now, what he reminded me is that I could have put too much on my plate, and others could put too much on my plate, but God doesn't put too much on your plate, never does. So, but anyway, I'm sitting there talking with him and telling him, just lamenting about all that I have to do, primarily because of my inexperience. I didn't know how to, you know, spend too much time here and that. He did a little time management with me and walked through some things. And then I started playing the spiritual mathematical game. You ever play that? Lord, take away subtraction. Take away some of this stuff. I can't handle all this stuff. Take away. Then you get into division. Lord, divide my enemies, you know. Divide all this stuff. Get rid of this. You know what he said to me? He said, the word you got to use is multiply. I said, multiply? He said, you won't find subtraction and division too much in the Bible. You might find some increases and decreases. He said, but the word you'll find in the Bible is multiply. But God always said he will multiply your borders. He will multiply your seed. He will multiply. I said, what are you trying to tell me? That I was supposed to multiply the things that I'm doing already? I'm already stressed out. He says, no, I'm saying to you, pray to God to multiply your resources. Don't think of what you can't do. Think of the resources you have and ask God come to multiply your resources. When you really feel stressed out and you just don't think you can do it, you know you're going to have to eliminate some things that are on your plate. But by means, don't ask God to take away things. Ask God to multiply. And the thing you got to multiply is your resources. And I always remember that. I always remember that. When I become overwhelmed and I don't think I can do things, yes, I'm going to have to clear some things off. Yes, I've got myself in this hizzy fit. You know, can you say that, hizzy fit? Where'd that come from? But you kind of bring this on yourself, right? And you say to God, no, not division, not subtraction, but multiply. Multiply my resources. Now, I've always applied that to Matthew 25 Ministries. And I've tried to instill that in our staff. That when things come to our way, and I'm telling you, they come our way in bunches at Matthew 25 Ministries. And usually when I kind of get down, I kind of, you know, feeling the weight of all of this and everything like that, the prayer that I offer up to God is to multiply my resources. That doesn't mean I have unending resources, but God does, but multiply my resources, you see. Now, where are you to find all of this? Where are you to find them? You're going to find all these resources you're going to do. I put up a lot of lights in my home, outside lights. And these little miniature lights, do you ever deal with them? They can be pesky, can't they? I mean, they really can be pesky. And they're so cheap anymore, I just throw them away and buy some new ones later on in the year. Problem they're having with those, you didn't know you were going to get a lecture on Christmas tree lights. The problem with those things is that half the strand will burn out or goes out. Yeah, it's been happening the last 4 or 5 years, is half the strand will go out. I've changed the fuses, I've called the manufacturer, I've done everything. Half the strand will kind of go out. So I have a friend who did his on these very popular, what they call icicles that you put up on the house. And they've always worked fine with me. And so he said that he had put all of his up, and I was telling him about half a strand going out, and all the connoisseurs of Christmas lights, we talk about these things. The half a strand was going out on his, and he said the same thing so he said he put all of his up. And he said, just as he plugged it in, at the very top of his roof, half a strand was on up there, you know. And I said to myself, I've never had any problems with those before. You know, they always work. And so I put up my Christmas tree lights very early this year when it was warm. And so when it got kind of cold weather, I was going to plug it in. And I plugged it in, and guess what? Right up there at the top, just half a strand, it was not working. And so I said, old doggone. That's what I said. I said, old doggone. You know, how did that happen to me? Golly sakes, I'm going to have to get the ladder out, get back up on that roof, and doggone it anyway. So I got up there, and so I went out trying to buy these lights, and guess what? Nobody had them. I mean, I think all of you people put up those lights this year. I went from store to store to store to store. Finally, I found them. I took them home, and guess what? They were for my window. They were not outside things. So I put those back, door to door to door, went all the thing, finally got them, all the time saying, oh, shoot, golly sakes, drive from door to door. Come back to the house, get the ladder out, go back up, redo this whole thing, and get it up there, and it works. Okay. So I go home, and everybody's very happy that the lights are up and so on. Finally, this week, Mickey and I were putting all the Christmas stuff down and putting it away, getting ready for the new year. And I go to this box, and guess what I find in the box? I find about 7 strands of these lights I had bought last year that I forgot about, and they were in that box all along, all the time. And a very humorous note to end the year, that's the same with your lives. That's the same with all of our lives. That you have gifts and you have talents that you've kind of stored away in your life, and some of you don't even know that you have them, but you do. And when God comes and calls you and tells you to go for door number 3, it's because you have the resources within yourself. So often we kind of look elsewhere. So often in life we kind of think there's somebody out there with some magic word, some magic wand, some magic formula that's going to come in and simply transform our life. And I will say that there are people we need to meet in life, and they can give us a lot of things in life, but where it all is within each and every one of you. In 1999, we ended a let's debate whether we were 2000 ended a millennium, but into a new millennium. And in 2002, I know, and I promise you, that each and every one of you, God is going to come calling, and he's going to ask you to do something for him. And the most important thing that we can remember is not to be a part of it might have been, but at least try. What if? What if? What if when God comes to me in 2002 and says your name, I want you to do this. I want you to go for door number 3. We look within for the gifts we have and we pray that prayer. Oh Lord, multiply my resources. You may be the least and you may not have a high appraisal of yourselves or whatever, but the reality is that God on that day chose Gideon of all of the other people. And I believe in a very special way, someday, maybe even now, God is going to choose.